I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Here at Trinity, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday morning for worship at 10 a.m. You also can watch our worship service on your TV in our Spirit 23 devotions on your YouTube. On April the 27th, which is today, the Unity Service from 6 to 9 p.m. with Daniel Christian will be here to enjoy in this evening. If you enjoy your radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org.
Amen. I always think of Mickey Mouse, M-I-C-K-E-Y, when we go through that. Bottom line, beloved, we're not letting any technical difficulties or anything else stop us from praising and worshiping our God. We move forward with or without music. We make a joyful noise to the Lord our God. Hopefully somebody else leads that joyful noise, but I'm more than willing. D's like, no way. Our scripture reading today comes from John, the 20th chapter, 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. Now remember, they said those doors were locked. And he said, peace be with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ offers a peace that nothing in this world can bring about. After he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came to them. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger on the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Beloved, let me present to you, doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is part of faith formation. Apathy, indifference is the opposite of faith. Many people in the Bible doubted. Our God is a mighty big God and can handle our questions. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. He knew what Thomas had said. He wanted to reassure Thomas. He was fine with Thomas's doubting. He also said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written about in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have eternal life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Churches tend to pull back a little bit. They tend to pull back the second Sunday after Easter through this Eastertide season because they believe that we cannot sustain the passion that we sustained through Lent, especially Passion Week and Resurrection Day. Beloved, I submit that we do need to extend that passion. We do need to look at Christ on the cross, all that he has given to us. Be grateful for it and strive to serve him. Like Thomas, we want to live our resurrection faith outwardly. So, what can we do in this time of worship that is an outward expression of our belief in the power of Easter? What hope, what joy, what grace can we show to one another and then to the world? We can help people get past their doubts, past their hurts, by seeing the person of Jesus Christ alive and well in each and every one of us. Is Jesus Christ living in you today? Is Jesus Christ living in you today? The greatest thing you can do is to let the people in your life know in your own words, if words are even necessary, how Jesus has got you through the difficulties in your life. Let us as a church keep wrestling with doubt, with complacency, so that we may fully be alive to Jesus Christ. During our song of response, if it decides to work, if not, we will still have an altar call after the message. You can come to the altar. You can lay down your burdens, your hurts, your sins. You can pray for one another up here because that's what we're called to do as we heal. Those scars are proof of God's mercy, of God's understanding, of God's ability to help us overcome. You can pray for the church. You can pray in any way you so desire. We will have that altar call. Okay. Who remembers the movie Jaws, that 1970 blockbuster? Dun, 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 dun. That sound terrified me. I had it on a video, but the video decided not to work, so you know, I had to do it, D. I lived in Washington State, surrounded by the Puget Sound. Every time anybody went to Spanaway, Browns Point, anything else, there was terror about Jaws. The American nation was infiltrated with images of sharks as big as a house, and everybody was terrified of shark attacks. The funny part of the movie, Richard Dreyfuss, one of the main characters in the movie, slide five, please. They began to show their scars to one another. They showed their barracuda scars. They showed their shark bite scars. They showed all the scars that had happened as fishermen. They began to pull up their shirts and show their scars, to rip off their socks and show their scars. They dropped their pants. In the midst of it, they also spoke of unseen scars. Eventually, they all turned around and looked at each other, threw their heads back, and began laughing, showing their scars to one another. Beloved, our scars, which have been a woundedness in our life and has come to a point of healing, is God's way of showing other people that we can indeed overcome if we're willing to be honest and vulnerable. 6. Galatians 6:17 says, "Hide not your scars. They are proof of God's mercy through His grace." We all have scars. The unseen, the ones that are seen, the ones that are healed, that bring glory unto our God. The resurrected Jesus makes several Easter appearances, usually to the people that He appeared. They did not recognize Him. Mary Magdalene did not recognize Him until He began speaking. The men on the road to Emmaus did not recognize that they were walking with the risen Savior until He broke the bread, until He opened the scriptures for him. I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life where something has happened that I did not immediately recognize that that was God. That was Jesus moving and working in my life. But thankfully, He continues to move and to work in our lives. In today's reading, Jesus again reveals Himself to the disciples. But once again, they can't tell that it is Him. They are together on that first Easter evening behind locked doors in fear. And who can blame them? The crucifixion was a contagious thing in those parts in that day. The disciples ran and abandoned our Lord and Savior for fear that the same thing would happen to them. Beloved, read the book of Acts. They all turned and they became mighty warriors for the gospel. Our Lord understands our fear. Our Lord understands when we have difficulties, and He strengthens us and helps us to walk through them. Peace be with you. But they didn't put two and two together, not just yet. I don't know what they thought they were looking at, but their first thought was not Jesus. Jesus walked through locked doors, stood there among them, and held His nail-scarred hands out and said, "Peace be with you." And yet, they did not recognize that it was Him. So show mercy and grace for yourself when you don't recognize Christ working in your life, and continually pray that He will work in your life. Submit yourself and be willing to show your own scars so that it may help to heal another. The text reports these words, "Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord." Not a moment sooner, when He was recognized by them, then they acknowledged Him. Here is an important detail for us, the latter day followers of Jesus Christ. Those early disciples did not have a clue who was standing before them until Jesus showed them His scars. And only then did they rejoice. 7. The beauty of our scars is that they show others who Jesus is in our life. They show others what Jesus Christ can do for each one of us individually. Healing looks different for everyone. Yesterday, we had a brief unity service meeting to make sure that everything would go well tonight. and a man named Scott Larrison was there. He'll be here speaking tonight. He's going to start by speaking about outcry, which is many churches in Seymour getting together May 10th at Crossroads Park. Two worship songs, prayer from the leaders in our community. Two worship songs, more prayer. Scott is actively dying of liver cancer. He has fourth stage liver cancer. I love this man. I love his heart. In the midst of his very worst treatments, in the midst of radiation, in the midst of chemo that almost killed him, he was the lay leader for REC. Who's been on an Emmaus walk here? Okay, we need to get you guys on an Emmaus walk. Please come and talk to me at some point. It's a lot of work. People said, oh, he shouldn't do that. He should spend all his time with his family. This is too much for him. And I can remember saying then, don't you dare take this away from him. This man sat and offered testimony yesterday. He'll offer a very brief testimony tonight. That in and of itself is worth you attending. He said, I want to serve my God with every breath that I have left. Yes, he is sad about leaving his wife and his children behind. But he says fully, as Christ did at the garden, if possible, take this cup from me, heal me. But thy will, not mine, and I will serve you with my dying breath. Whew, that's pretty powerful, folks. That is very powerful. Jesus showed his disciples his wounds. The disciples rejoined when they saw Jesus. They could not see them until they were ready to. 9, please. Healing happens in community. We heal together as community. Now, beloved, I have preached, and you all have heard me, that the one place we should be able to be vulnerable, admit our shortcomings, is here in the church. Use wisdom. Use wisdom. You may not want to tell all the details in the entire story to the entire congregation. Pick a few trusted people to pray for you. If you are willing to pray for somebody who is struggling, please raise your hand. Look around you, beloved. These people will support you and lift you up. That is what the church is about. That is what our altar call will be about here shortly. There is an easy to overlook detail that says a whole lot about the modern church, about the church in America. Here we have the risen Savior Jesus, safe and sound in the bosom of his Father, past trauma of Good Friday. Nothing but good times ahead. And his friends don't have a clue who he is until his scars are revealed. Beloved, the modern day church has become complacent and apathetic, indifferent. We must strive to put Jesus Christ first, to come together in unity no matter what our differences of opinion are. Everybody's entitled to them. But we need to put Jesus first. We need to come together so that we can help heal others who walk into this church. 10, please. Our scars tell us who we are. They tell us who we do not want to become. And they tell others more than we can say in any other words about Jesus Christ. You know, people say, Jesus will always bring you peace and joy. I hear people say, it's not okay. Good Christian girls can't be angry. You know what? Anger is a human emotion. Anger in and of itself is not a sin. It's what we do with it that counts. I hear people say, if you're a real Christian, you'll always have peace in your heart. You'll always be joyful. Malarkey. We have had great, deep sadness in our life. Because we have had trauma, because we have had difficulties, because we experience the full range of human emotions, does not mean we are not Christian. People bear real traumatic scars from real and traumatic past. But when Jesus comes, we are sometimes led to believe that everything is rosy and gay. You know, I remember when I first came to the Lord. I remember when trials started coming about. I remember saying, but I'm doing everything you told me to do, Jesus. I got saved. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm working with the youth group. Life still happens. No matter how much we believe in our Lord, life still happens. And we are called upon to be the body of Christ, to uplift and support each other during those times. Slide 12, please. We need to look full in the face of the cross. We need to look at the fact that by His wounds, by His stripes, we are healed. We need to remember what He did for us. So what does all of this say about the modern church? Does it say that all of us who carry around scars and old wounds aren't Christian? No. It means, I think, that we are to find a way to show our scars to one another, to stop pretending that they don't exist. Stop believing the lie that good Christians with the right sort of faith, you know, someone sat there, and I know they meant well, and they looked Scott in the face after he shared, and they said, I believe, and I believe this too, if you have faith and believe and truly believe, you'll be healed. Scott has faith and belief. Many people have faith and belief. They no longer allow pastors to go from hospital room to hospital room to hospital room because people say things like, you're carrying unconfessed sin, and that's why you're dying. That is not my theology. That is not what the Bible says. Life happens. Life on life's terms is difficult. God does not cause cancer. He does not cause terrible car accidents. He does not cause division in the church. However, He can take all of that and bring about good from it for you and I and to His glory. Perhaps the truest test of the authentic church is to follow Jesus' lead. He showed us His scars, and then we believed. Perhaps the truest test for us as a church is to be authentic, to be real, not to put on a plastic smile and be fake and pretend like everything's okay. Good Christian girls, don't get angry. I'm not hurting. It's all okay. My world is crumbling and falling apart, but I'm all okay. No, we need to be real. We need to look up to Jesus. We are not perfectly starched people sitting in the pews. And beloved, if we behave that way, the new people coming into the pews will not feel that they belong here. We show who we are, but we also show our faith in Jesus Christ by following Him and by trusting Him through the very worst. The church is about gathering around the scarred Lord Jesus Christ, who profoundly touches our own scars and unites us in community with precisely what we have in common, not our potential, not our social standing, not even our denominational theology, but primarily our woundedness. Perhaps we want an explanation for those wounds. Perhaps we'll get one. Most likely we won't get one this side of heaven. Read your Bible. How many people question the Lord? Job, Moses, many of them. Our God is a big God. He can handle that. The only answer the Bible gives us for suffering is Jesus. That is God's response to human suffering. The groaning of all creation. The Holy Spirit intercedes with groans deeper than we can begin to understand. And Jesus stands in the midst of us, scars exposed. Peace be with you. There is great comfort in Jesus' wounds that are openly presented to his first followers on Easter evening. It is precisely how the disciples come to believe that he truly was risen. And perhaps that's still true for each and every one of us today. Perhaps others will come to know Jesus is alive when the church dares to show her scars to one another. Peace be with you. By his wounds, we are healed. 13, please. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, I will not believe, says Thomas. Did Jesus chastise him? No. He showed up for him. Jesus bore scars even on Easter. Easter does not negate Good Friday. What happened, happened, and it is a part of Jesus, a part of his story, and a part of ours. Our scars are a large part of who we are, of who we have become. A scar is a wound that has been healed. We need to bring them to Jesus, lay them down on the altar, let him heal us, and then use them to heal another. Please listen to the words of what I hope will play of our song of response. Whether or not the song plays, I ask you to come to the altar. Whether you need to lay something down, whether you're willing to pray for someone else. Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see with open eyes, darkest waters and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade for anything. 'Cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds that I have, you will use to tell a story. So I am thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. Now I'm standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I am not who I was before. No, I don't have any fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, because without them I would not know your heart, and they will always tell others of who you are. I can see how you delivered me in your hands and in your feet. I see our victory. I tell of who you are with every scar I bear, because without them I wouldn't know your heart. Do we have a video? For those who are willing, please join me at the altar. Another pray for our church.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade it for anything. 'Cause my brokenness brought me to you, and These wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. Now I'm sending in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness. And I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the stars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the stars. Without them I wouldn't know your heart. And with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful. I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know that of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the skies. So forever I am thankful for the skies.
Amen. If there is anyone else in need of